As we continue our Advent journey here, it's such a delightful journey today, especially, I'm sure, for all of you who had to drive from distances. I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad you're here safe and sound. Days like these, it's almost best just to stay home and pull the covers up over your head and sleep in. But I'm glad that you have chosen to be here with your family. Today, in our Advent journey, we are talking about, can you hear me now? Yeah, okay. I'm glad you're all in the spirit and feeling good about that. Yes. And you know where that comes from, correct? Years ago, the name of the gentleman who played that role, his role name was Jason. And can you hear me now was his phrase for Verizon Telephone. And that went on for several years up until 2011 when they decided to just mutually agree not to renew the lease, their contract with each other. And so he went on to work for other companies, and now he's working for another telephone company, for Sprint. And he's talking about the fact that Sprint is just almost as good as Verizon. So I guess we can hear him again. John the Baptist is someone we talked about last week, and we again talk about this week. Last week, we had him out in the middle of the wilderness, and he was proclaiming a baptism for the forgiveness of sins. And he was a very fiery preacher and proclaimer, and now we find that he is his voice has been silenced. He has been put in prison, basically because the Tetrarch, Herod Antipas, wasn't pleased with what he was saying about the fact that Herod had married his brother's wife. And John the Baptist spoke out against that. And as a result, John was, because of his mouth, was put into prison. And that's part of the problem sometimes, is that when we make proclamations and we share in the message of God, that it isn't always popularly received. Sometimes it's actually met with resistance and anger, and we've seen what happened with some of the prophets, right? We know that some were stoned, some were put to death, some were humiliated, and yet that's the job that they were called to do, to go out and share in the good news of Jesus. So today, as we talk about, can you hear me now, we find that John has had second feelings about his cousin Jesus, the one whom he had proclaimed earlier that, behold, here is the Lamb of God, meaning here is God's chosen one, the Messiah. But now John is hearing that what Jesus is doing runs counter to what he believed the Messiah to be about. He was not a firebrand of a preacher, Jesus. He was not somebody who was unifying the country. If anything, his words actually brought division, because he spoke not of power and of fighting and working towards a unification of the country, but he was talking about the love of God. And John, as he was in prison, had time to think about it. And as he knew that his time was drawing to close, wanted to make sure that the ministry that he had been working at wasn't something that in which he had miscued and was telling people falsely that Jesus was the Messiah. So he wanted to be absolutely sure. So he sent his disciples. They went to Jesus and said, John wants to know if you are the one. And Jesus responds by, well, look around you. What's happening? The blind can see, the deaf can hear, the lame can walk. These are all things of the image that we have and the prophecies that speak of this new life that God is granting his people. He didn't come right out and say, yes, I am the one. But he said, look around you and listen to what I've said. Now, whether John was satisfied with that answer, we will never know. But I guess the question for us is, can we hear Jesus? Can we hear Jesus in the midst of that wilderness experience we talked about last week? Can we hear Jesus and hear the voice of God as those ancient Israelites in the time of Isaiah, who talked about how out of the desert will come this beautiful picture? And if any of you have ever been out in those areas after there's been a brief rain, you know that the desert changes very quickly. And suddenly there's flowers and there's life that you don't see ordinarily. And the folks in Isaiah's time were assured of the fact that when they were to find this promised place back home in Jerusalem, when they were going home after many, many years of exile, that they would be safe in their journeys. They would not need to be afraid. And that old folks will be sitting once again on the benches on the streets of the town, and that they would be able to enjoy life the way it was intended, and the rest of the world will continue on and celebrate this joy which God gives. But those are wonderful pictures. We can do this calendar all we want, and we can pull off each of the days, and we can look forward to the 24th and the 25th. Well, what is it that happens afterwards? What does it mean for us in our daily living? You know, when it's all said and done, and we're relieved that all the hubbub of the holidays are done, we put all the decorations and everything away, we're just back into the normal routine. Life hasn't changed all that much, has it? Just for a few moments that we look forward to what this idea of peace is all about. The very words in which the angels proclaim the night that Jesus is born, glory to God in the highest, and peace, goodwill to his people on earth. We long for that day. We long for being able to live a life that would be free of cancer, a life that would be free of all the disagreements that we have towards each other and towards the rest of the world. We look forward to a life where we again hear of those words of promise that from Isaiah or from the prophet last week about that peaceable kingdom where everyone and all animals will be together as one. And the idea of taking our swords and beating them into plowshares. Those are wonderful images, but you know, we struggle because we know the reality of life out there isn't so easy. We know that we are challenged each and every day with all kinds of things that go on around us. And we finally just kind of sometimes toss our hands up and say, come on, God, if you're going to do something, just get it done with, will you? We get impatient. We struggle. James reminds us that in the midst of that impatience, that we are to be patient. Because we know the story. We know at the conclusion of the 24th, we know that God promised us the gift of his Son. And it did come. And it came in the form of not just a child, but an adult who ultimately gave his life so that we may see how much God truly loves us. Are you one of those persons that when you start to read a good story, you get a little anxious and want to really know what the conclusion is before you even have read most of the story? And there's that temptation that you want to sneak ahead and read the ending? Oh, no, you don't want to do that. No. Did you ever do that? No? I somehow, you know, as a kid, there were times, you know, you wanted to know, so you just peek ahead. Or kind of like the people who solve crossword puzzles, and you get really stuck, and you know the answer's in the back. Now, do you do that? Yeah, come on. You go back and you look at that and you see, oh, there it is, and you write it down. The problem is I find that if I start doing that, it's like, okay, the next word, I'll just go check it, you know. Take all the fun out of it. We get anxious. You know, when we get in the midst of our life, and it's a good story. Yeah, it's had its ups and downs, it has its struggles, and it's had its moments of sadness, but yet there are good things that have occurred in our life. We've met someone who means the world to us, or we have children that have enriched our lives and even have perhaps tested us to the limits. but we wouldn't want it any differently. And in spite of all of life's imperfections, we still strive to live it to its fullest. After 33 years of ministry, and now I can see the light is at the end of the tunnel in the sense of that I have to start thinking about retirement sometime soon. You know, and I'm talking soon, like in the next 10 years. Don't worry, it's not tomorrow. But that's, in one way, that's something that I look forward to, and yet it's something that I'm also just a little bit about hesitant in getting to that point. Because it means a good portion of my life has concluded to be retired. I think I can be patient with that. But then there are those moments that, you know, as in any situation, as in, with any place of work, there are moments that you want to say, you know, that's good, I'm done, I'm ready, you know? But that's where, you know, James comes in and says to us, we need to be patient. We need to practice patience. We are not a patient people because we are so used to everything just being given to us at the moment. You know, it used to be when you ordered something, it would take maybe, you know, what, 10 to 14 days at least, order it on the Penny's catalog or whatever else. I'm talking 20, 30 years ago, okay? Nowadays, you can order something from Amazon, it'll be there in 2 days, and if you're in one of their close locations, I guess now you can get delivered by a drone. The same day. You know, usually by this point, you should have all your Christmas shopping done if you've ordered, you know, anything by mail or by phone, because you know it would take so long. Now, they promise you delivery up until about 2 or 3 days before Christmas. We're so used to having it right there, you know. You go have, you know, if you're in a hurry to eat, just stop down at McDonald's and there you go. Go home. Don't really want to spend time on lunch much? Well, you can just stick a hot dog in the microwave and it's done in 30 seconds. We just are so used to everything being there, being for us. And suddenly when things just don't go right, you know what? It doesn't happen that way, does it? When I was involved in an accident on a rainy day on the New Jersey Turnpike, and if you ever know anything about driving in New Jersey, it's absolutely crazy. Bumper to bumper, and the traffic was slow, and it was just creeping along, and then suddenly there was this burst, and everybody was moving ahead, and I hit the gas, and of course, the person in front of me stopped right as soon as they did that burst. I rear-ended them. And as with any situation, when you rear-end a person in an accident, you are at fault. And so what did I want to do? I wanted to get it resolved right away, you know? But it doesn't work that way. You want things to just be right. When there's a problem with another person, you want to make it right. You want to work it out, and yet you know that sometimes it takes time in those relationships to give people space and to be patient. Today, in our celebration of this Advent Sunday, it is known as the Sunday of Joy. And the reason why it's a joyful Sunday is that we know what this story and how it concludes. We know the promise of the Messiah does come to us, and we know the story out of St. Luke and out of St. Matthew, and the promise that God has made and how the child is saved from Herod's threats. We know how Jesus grows up and how he shows us a side of a God that we really never knew. A God who is patient with us. A God who is forgiving. A God who loves. Much of the Old Testament, when we go through that, there's a lot of fire and judgment. But yet if you look closely, you get those glimpses of how God cared for his people and how he loved them. And we know through the gift of the New Testament exactly how it is that our lives will come to an end. And so James says to us, be patient. All things will work for the good of God. And even if those things do not work as you would like them to turn out, you do know what the conclusion is. You know that because of what God has promised you, that God's promise never comes to an end. You know that God's love is always constant, and it doesn't end. And you know that God's grace is always there, and it never ends. And so when it comes to our day, in which is our day where we draw our last breath, as much as I want to live life to its fullest and I want to see my grandchildren grow up and I want to see things happen and I want to see great successes with the people that I know and love, I want to be able to see things that I haven't been able to see yet. It doesn't matter. But ultimately, in the end, I know what the promise is for me. And so we are reminded. And in those long pauses of life, like John, where we begin to second guess what God is all about, hear again Jesus' words in response to John's disciples. Look around you, and what do you see? We see God's healing presence all around us. We see God's love all around us. And so today, celebrate that gift that's given to you, even in the midst of heartache and pain, that God's blessing is here, and you don't need to turn to the end of the book because you already know how the story ends. It's just getting through that middle section. And we will all be there at the same place at the time that God calls us home. God bless you in this Advent journey. Can you hear God? And I hope you can hear God now, because God is saying everything's going to be okay. Amen.